Hello and welcome to Ghost Beast, a horror podcast. I'm Todd, joined by my wife Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi.
Hi. We watched Psycho from 1960, directed by the one and only Alfred Hitchcock. Don't think I need to introduce what he's done. I guess we could start off by saying we are kicking off Pride Month with this one.
Yes.
I figure it would be nice to go back to a classic movie to kick it off, I guess. And I think we talked about this a little bit, that with a movie like this that's been analyzed to death, everybody knows what it is. There's nothing new we can really add to the conversation. All we can really talk about is our personal experience with this.
Yeah.
And I think you want to go into the pride elements of it.
Well, queer, yeah.
I guess you want to go into the queer elements.
It's okay. It's okay, hetero.
Okay. And I guess you want to go into the queer elements a little bit
in this as well. Yes, because I'm queer.
Yes.
Yes.
So I guess the way I wanted to start this off, though, is just talk about our personal history with this. And for me, what's so interesting that I realized watching it this time, because I'm not someone who watches a lot of classic movies and Hitchcock, like, I know you love all that stuff.
Yeah,
my dad's a huge Hitchcock fan.
Yes,
I just never really got into that era of movies for whatever reason, and I feel like you're kind of introducing me to a lot of this stuff, which is great, because now I love cat people.
Yeah.
Like, just like you do, because I get it now, you know? And that's the funny thing with this one is that if you ask me, like, oh, you've seen Psycho, right? It's like, yeah, of course I've seen Psycho. Everybody's seen Psycho. I'm realizing I saw it when I was very young on cable, and I don't think I caught the whole movie, but I knew all the big, you know, cultural elements of it, like everybody does. So it's like, yeah, I know Psycho. But watching it now, like, the whole beginning, like, the opening setup and everything, I was like, I don't remember any of this. And that wound up being such an amazing experience because, again, you know, if we're not talking spoilers right now, it's kind of hard to do that because I feel like everyone just knows this movie. But just to give a general idea, the opening, like, third of the movie, which you know what that means, you know, if you've seen it, I feel like is perfect cinema.
Oh,
like,
my God,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
And I was never able to appreciate that before, but the whole time I was just like, Jesus Christ, like, this is incredible.
It holds up in some ways very well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have some other thoughts about the rest of the movie.
Yeah, me too.
Because I don't know if I'd say that about the rest for a few reasons. But yeah, that opening segment is just so incredible. It, like, blew me the fuck away.
I know. The cinematography is just...
Oh, like, it's everything.
It's like gold. Like, it's great.
Yeah, and I kept noticing... I mean, like, with the cinematography, we were finally able to, like, really appreciate the OLED TV that we have, because the contrast just really stood out.
Yeah.
It looked really phenomenal. But it's really the way he marries the film, the picture to the music, like the soundtrack.
Yes.
It's a classic soundtrack. Everybody knows it. But I specifically noticed, it's almost like I could see how people like Tarantino got a lot of inspiration from Hitchcock, because it's the long scenes just showing, like, people's faces making expression while there's this loud, overbearing soundtrack. There's something to that I just think is, like, so beautiful.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This movie, like, is art. Like,
oh, for
it's
sure.
It's just so, it just always, like, even watching it last night, I was just, like, mesmerized. I was like, wow, this is incredible. And, you know, I don't know, just the way, I've seen the storyboards before. I've been lucky enough to, like, at the time, I felt lucky enough to see the storyboards. Now it's probably, like, so easy to find them. You just Google it.
Would you see them in school?
Yeah. I was looking at old books, and I saw the storyboards, and I just was so blown away. It, like, inspired me so hard.
I can definitely see that for sure. But, I mean, I don't know what else to say, you know, without getting into spoilers. But I really was surprised how much that I liked it and how much I didn't remember of it, you know? Like, there's just so much here that I wasn't able to appreciate back then. I kind of wish I'd rewatched this sooner, but still just great seeing it again.
I mean, I'll watch it again.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I love watching that movie.
But is there anything you could say if you want to touch on some of the queer topics without going into spoilers? Like, I don't know how much you can say just to set it up.
I mean, just to, I guess, preface a little, like, there are antiquated terms used.
Yeah.
Oh, and
yeah.
It's, you know, it's yeah, worth it.
And we were kind of like, whoa. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it always kind of catches you off guard. You know, and it's just, it's worth mentioning, especially just the way things are right now. You know, it's very, very unacceptable. But.
Yeah. It is, it's just tough because a lot of those themes and particularly like what I want to say about it is something that happens at the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's stuff that you kind of can't talk about it without giving away the whole twist of the movie,
yeah.
Which I feel like everyone knows already, but just for the sake of,
yeah, there might be someone maybe sure. Just never checked it. I mean, I showed it to you in what you were in your 30s.
What, Psycho?
What wasn't it? Was that no?
Cat People.
Oh, Cat People.
But I guess if you're one of those people who just isn't super into the older movies, which we're probably going to see more and more of that with future generations, because now this shit is really fucking old. You know what I mean? When I was a kid, it was old. Now it's real fucking old. So if you haven't really messed with that era of movies, or if you think like, yeah, I know what that movie is, it's worth at least watching the beginning because it's incredible how well it holds up.
Yeah, it gives you incredible context to like the influence it has now gives.
It's
to
like
this
I
day.
Said, I feel like I've seen shots and the way the soundtrack is handled in so many Tarantino movies, and it's like, of course. He like basically took that style and brought it into the modern day. So I get it now. I'm not like a real film snob person. I would never try to act like expert on film.
I definitely am not either. Let's make that perfectly clear. Even though I've like dabbled in making films, I still do not know everything. There's still so much to learn.
I just want to make it clear. I don't try to hold that on my sleeve. It's not like, I'm making a podcast as a film expert. Like, that's not it. Well, why don't we just go ahead and get into spoilers then and really talk about it. So right away, I almost forgot. I wanted to talk about this in the beginning. It's probably not even worth bringing up.
Okay.
But remember how we discovered the whole like algorithm search change before we watched the movie? This is like neither here nor there. This is very stupid. But when we were searching for it, I had to type out like the entire word psycho, which is like, how do you not know what I'm looking for? Like, come on. And we've noticed that on a lot of different platforms now.
Yes, it's very annoying.
It's like you have to type the whole fucking thing before it completes. And I was so confused. Like, why is this so bad everywhere? And I realized it was giving us the show Psych.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything below it was like stuff like Psych. It's like they changed the algorithm to predict like, oh, if you're looking for Psych, you're going to want to watch Monk and like this other dumb shit. That's like, no.
It was a perfectly fine tool. You search and it would bring up the search results.
Yeah, but like, that was like, I had to type the whole fucking word.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what I'm looking for.
It's just a weird thing to implement because it doesn't seem necessary at all.
Yeah, but anyway.
Yeah.
So I mentioned, the first third that blew me away, it's the whole opening with, you know, this heroine being introduced who then, like, a decent length into the movie gets killed and then the whole focus shifts from there.
Yeah.
I know I've heard a lot before about how groundbreaking that was, and it still feels, like, really effective.
Oh, yeah. It definitely still works.
Yeah, but I didn't remember anything about the whole setup, like how she got to the hotel.
Oh, okay.
That's one of the things I probably like caught it on TV and just tuned in, you know, in USA and just saw the murder and was like, okay, cool. But I mean, first of all, it was funny because it so normalizes cheating in your relationship. And it's like, oh yeah, we just watched Mad Men. It's I guess this is like the 1960s is just this is a normal thing.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, because she's with a married guy, and they're talking about running away together, I guess.
But he's in, like, tremendous debt.
Oh, is that
apparently?
It?
I think so.
But yeah, the whole lead up to then her, like, on a whim stealing this $40,000 in cash from her job and just making a run for it. And the way that she's, like, such a bad criminal who's, like, so guilty, like, every step of the way.
I feel like, okay, yeah, she wasn't a great criminal.
Like, writing down the notes and then ripping it up.
I think she was anxious.
Yes.
I think it was supposed to be, like, anxiety.
That's what I was going to get to, though, is, like, it's funny.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it just tells you so much about her mental state and her character, and like so effectively, like setting up this high stress stuff and with the soundtrack over top of it, you know, like with her driving and the music is just like hammering you. It does feel like so anxious.
Yeah. And she's like playing scenarios in her head that she thinks is happening. Like she's like super anxious.
It's such effective storytelling.
Yeah.
It really is. And this is part of like this kind of lost art that's already been bothering me, which is like expressing a lot with a little and not over explaining. I think that's like, not to sound too fucking old, I think that's one of the issues I have with a lot of modern movies, is even the ones that I really like, it feels like they spend too much time explaining things to the audience.
Yeah.
Which is funny because that's one of the complaints I have about the end of this movie. But that opening segment, it's like I said, it portrays so much about her character and everything, and the way it leads up, because it's such a normal story at that point. And the way it leads up to the reveal of the hotel where it's like raining and super dark, and then you see the lights from the hotel in the distance.
So
it's so chilling. Especially knowing where it's going, it so effectively feels really chilling.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure it scared the shit out of people back in the day.
If you just, like, suspend, like, belief for a little bit, like, watching it, you can see why people were really scared at the time.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, of course, like, some of these things can seem hokey, but if you really just, like, kind of put yourself back in time a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, man, they never seen anything like this before.
Oh, yeah.
They got blood and titties everywhere, and they're like, they don't know what to do.
Yeah, that too. There was quite a bit of blood.
Mm-hmm.
And, everything that led up to the murder of the original character, it was just so effectively done. Because after setting her mental state and, you know, it's like this slow, it's like she's slipping into danger, basically. Like, you know, the way she's running away from her life and winds up in this hotel that's like so desolate with this fucking weirdo talking to her. But it just feels very tragic, like the lead up to what happens to her. And the actual scene that's like, you know, everyone's seen it a million times. It's still very chilling seeing like the door open through the shower curtain and the figure walk up. And I can only imagine, like, how people fucking reacted back then.
Well, yeah. I mean, it instantly gives you this fear of being alone in the shower.
Oh, yeah. Because she feels so vulnerable there.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of, like, shower kills in horror movies because they are so scary. It's, like, really when you're at your most, like, vulnerable state.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Even the best slasher, Sleepaway Camp, has the shower kill.
Yes, it does.
But yeah, it's very chilling, and I can only imagine, like I said, what audiences felt like back then. And can you even remember, like, when you first saw this movie, if you really believed it was his mother?
Honestly, I think I had a biased, like going into the movie.
You kind of knew.
I kind of knew already, and only because, like, it was such a popular horror film in my family, for, like, my family to talk about.
Yeah.
So, like, I already kind of knew some of the context, you know, like, being a kid and hearing.
Yeah. And, I mean, she does seem kind of spry for an old lady, I could say that.
Yeah.
Whenever she's moving around.
Yeah, she got down there real quick.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's creepy, and when they eventually catch him and you see her face and the way the camera, like, goes between the characters, you know, between Norman Bates, his mother, and the guy who discovered them. Or no, it's her sister, right?
Yeah.
with the light swinging back and forth, that's also just like very chilling.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's so many iconic scenes in this. Like,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, everything up to, you know, introducing Norman Bates and the way that he acts that character, it feels like...
I feel like this movie can really be interpreted many ways by many different people for many different things. I think that's okay. What kind of, like, people really like Psycho 4 is interpretation is kind of open a little.
Yeah, I guess that's a good way to lead into the other elements of the movie that you can read into. I want to say, just to set it up, though, for me, like, I'm curious what you have to say, because I think you'll be more knowledgeable on this than me.
Okay.
But I did think it was funny how at the end of the movie, they when they have the scene. So I guess before we get there, let's say that my complaint with the movie is that after that murder, it kind of shifts into this like pattern of like, oh, now we're trying to find her and the people going in her footsteps.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
It feels like it kind of loses steam at that point. I don't know if that's like blasphemous.
No,
I think it's valid at this point.
It's valid to say.
But it feels like it becomes more traditional after that. And it almost feels like, man, I wish it was just like a short, or, you know, if it was trimmed down in some way, because then it also leads up to finally capturing him. And I guess we'll talk more in depth about that in a second. But then at the end, he gets like psychoanalyzed, and it's like they really explain the shit out of, you know, what's going on. Maybe they thought the audience wouldn't understand, you know, because they really explain the shit out of it.
Yeah.
But I thought it was really funny how it feels like he keeps saying, like, by the way, it's not sexual. Okay. I repeat, it's not sexual. Because it's like, I don't know how people would have read into that. But that's why, like, it's funny to think about the queer themes when the movie itself is being like, it's not sexual.
Yeah, I
think it's a sign of the times.
Well, right? Yeah. Well, I mean, it completely is. I mean, this is like, I'm so afraid of saying something wrong or.
No, you could just say like
incorrect
your interpretation. Because what I'm trying to say with that is like, I think people will look at that as being like, it's basically downplaying any of those kind of themes.
Yeah.
But the reality is like you take away, you know, what you want based on your own experience from any kind of art that you consume.
Yeah.
And you can definitely see the way that that plays into this.
Yeah. I mean, I think just as a viewer, to me, it feels obvious that Norman is portraying his mother in order to heal from his trauma somehow.
Oh, yeah.
So obviously it's like no one was thinking that. Like, I don't know. But also going back to that scene real quick, I do want to say, like, I do love how iconic the like expression on his face is with the fly on his forehead. I just like, I love that whole scene right there where he's like talking to the camera and, well, in his head.
Yeah.
And yeah, I love that so much.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most chilling things to me was watching it and knowing, you know, where it's going.
Yeah.
The way that he talks about his mother, it's like you can see how it kind of dances around what's happening, you know, in order to save up for the reveal. But there is a part where someone, I think it might be the private investigator, tells him that if he's thinking about, like, you know, moving away, and he's like, oh, I couldn't do that because then my mother would be all alone and it would be like she's in the grave. And it's like already referencing the fact that she's already dead and he is just keeping her alive.
Yeah.
In order to keep himself from breaking mentally, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was, it was interesting and it was just extra chilling watching it and knowing that.
Oh, yeah. Like, after you've watched this movie and you don't know, like, the twists and everything, it's like a different viewing experience watching it again. Like, it's, with all the information, you know, and, like, it's just so creepy thinking of someone who's basically has access to you, who is like, I guess, splitting personalities. And also, it is worth mentioning that, like, portraying someone as, like, queer-coded and with, like, a mental illness and stuff is, like, really messed up.
Yeah.
But I think I just, I don't know.
That stuff always gets complicated because, like, Sleepaway Camp played with that stuff too. And I think it's a challenge to, I think the thing that I struggle with as a boring ass straight white guy, and it's hard to find the words for this, but it's this idea that, you know, some of the stuff is pretty offensive on its face.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to take that into account because during the time it was made, I don't think they were thinking in very complex ways about this stuff.
Unfortunately, no.
But I think there is something to applying like a modern eye on these things and interpreting them in a newer way that can kind of almost revitalize the meaning of the word.
Yeah, just a way to reclaim it and still take... At that time, I think like with certain movies made around this time period, there is obviously not a lot of queer representation, like, at all.
Yeah.
So it's almost like you just take what you can get, and it's not that it's good to portray someone as queer as a mentally ill villain, but it's like, well, I don't know, we'll just reclaim it and also celebrate the actor that portrayed Norman Bates, because Anthony Perkins is like insanely great.
Yeah. Like he is a great choice for that.
Yeah.
Because he looks kind of strange, but he's still like, you know, he's a handsome, normal looking guy.
Yeah.
And I think that just makes him even more like creepy and disarming. And yeah, it works really well.
Yeah. His acting is incredible. And yeah, I think he's a very celebrated person to work on this film.
Yeah, and I think with what we were saying, like, you know, I'm not in a position to say that you should or shouldn't be offended by anything. Like,
no,
I'm not in a place to like define that. But I do think, like, yeah, if you're bringing a modern interpretation to like a more progressive interpretation to an older work like this, I think it's just completely valid.
Yeah,
even if the original work is like, it's not sexual. I think it was sexual. It was fucking sexual. I mean, he's like getting attracted to these women and then turning into his mom and murdering them. It's like, you know what I mean?
I don't know. I don't know if I would say that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I firmly believe that he's heavily traumatized and looking to like cope by pretending to be his mom somehow.
But I mean, he was like peeping on her beforehand.
I do think that some of that is the way Hitchcock directed it. Like, I think that I think it kind of plays into the queer coding thing a little bit, and I could be wrong. Like, I don't know. But I do think that, like, by, like, making the character such a creep and it's, like, bordering the line, like, is he queer, is he not queer, is a way of, like, villainizing him a bit for being queer, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. That would probably play into the original vision.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, we could just say, you know, we don't need to stick to that.
I think
you can interpret stuff however you want.
Well, yeah, I think people can do whatever they want with, you know, art. You know, you view it and whatever it means personally to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do always think watching these older movies, it's always interesting to see how much like modern life has changed since then. You know what I mean? It's like the small details are always interesting. Like the way that, first of all, the way that she can just, like, walk out with all that cash and just, like, drive.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, well, she's fucking gone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, I guess people did that, huh?
Yeah.
But I guess one thing that didn't change is the fucking cop who's just, like, up her ass
God. Yeah.
The whole time. Like, mind your fucking business. Jesus. You got nothing better to do.
I know.
Like, nobody got shit to do back then. Because that was the other thing. When she when she goes to the fucking garage, I was like, man, people talk too fucking much back then. Like, he just comes out like, hey, lady, like, it's going to be a bad day because it's early in the morning, but we're going to change that. It's like, all the shit. It's like, dude. Like, people talk so much. They didn't have shit to do.
Yeah, and, like, she was ready to, like, immediately buy the car, and he's like, whoa.
Whoa, lady.
You need to take a day to think about it. Yeah. It's like, no, I feel like you go to any car dealership, and you're like, yeah, I want that one. They're immediately going to sell it to you.
It's also just weird how, and kind of depressing, how she's like, well, how much, you know, will this cost me? And he's like, with the trade-in, $700. And when she's like, yes, of course, he's like surprised, like, oh, you didn't even want to haggle? It's like, what the fuck, man? Like, that sucks.
Yeah.
But it is funny because, yeah, you hear that. It's like, I don't know what that means. Like, how much is $700? Is that like $50,000?
I don't know.
That was the issue in Mad Men, too, when they'd be like, I'll pay you $1,000. And they'd be like, oh, shit, I can retire. It's like, what did money mean back then?
I don't know.
But those are the kind of little details that are always kind of fun. And even the way that, you know, they had to, like, send a PI after her. Because otherwise, she's just fucking gone. Like, there's no way to reach her or anything. But that also just shows you these kind of stories, like, you can't tell these same stories anymore. Mm-hmm. It really is from a different era. And I don't know, it makes it feel like extra scary, like everyone is extra isolated.
Yeah. And I think what's also worth mentioning is, like, another sign of the times, or maybe just gender dynamics, is all of the women are like, hi, I need help, or something's wrong, and we need to, and all the men are like, everything's fine.
Here, take some tranquilizers.
Yeah. And, like, all these women, like, their intuition is, like, telling them, like, this is not a good idea. Yeah. And all the men are like, everything's fine. Your sister's fine. And she's, like, dead.
Like, sit down, broad. I've got this.
Yeah. She's, like, dead in a swamp in the back of a car.
Yeah. And that was another thing I thought was really creepy. I love the final shot of them, like, pulling the truck out of the swamp.
Yeah.
You know?
So effective.
I think that was a really effective way to end it. It's just, I think, wish there was a way to trim down the other parts.
Yeah.
I probably sound like such a fucking Zoomer bitch saying that, but it's like, I guess that's just how I see it nowadays.
You need to watch it in 30-second clips.
I know. Oh, fuck off. It's not even like...
Damn!
No, it's just like, because I realize how bad that sounds.
No,
but
it's just joking.
I know. I guess that's just, it's not even like that it's, oh, it's too long. It just felt like kind of unnecessary.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I get what you're saying. It kind of takes a break from being all aesthetic and, I don't know, creepy to like, oh, okay, it's just story right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like exposition. And again, like the way they have to just super fucking explain it at the end just felt like too much. But yeah, that's another sign of the times, I think, that probably back then people wouldn't be able to wrap their heads around any of this shit.
I think this was one of those movies where it would be like alleged that people were like throwing up and, you know, like
pissing, shitting, passing out.
Pissing, shitting all over the place.
Yes, probably. Yeah, so it is like it's a fun kind of relic in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess in recognition of Pride Month, why we're doing this episode when we are, I mean, what is it that you can really relate to in this movie? Because I feel like it's open to a lot of different interpretations.
Yeah.
If you want to take that route.
I mean, see, like, I think, like, I'm not even sure. Like, first of all, like, there's some stuff I can't speak on because I don't have that experience.
Yeah.
But,
Well, I think it's also just, you have such a big heart, you don't want to offend anybody, but I don't think that's ever going to be a problem. Like, you can just talk about how it makes you feel.
I think mainly I feel, like, a little bit of sadness looking, even though I love classic movies.
Yeah.
I feel a little bit of sadness of, like, Anthony Perkins, who I feel like was being singled out by Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah.
You know? And it just it makes me sad because, see, I don't want to be crying.
Well, I don't even know anything about the backstory. Like, what happened to him?
Well, it does seem like he sort of started to get typecast and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And people kept trying to, like, pry into his private life. And even to speculate if he was gay or bisexual or whatever, it's like, it's not our business, you know?
Is that was it like a witch hunt?
I don't know if it was really too much of a witch hunt, but it definitely affected his career.
Okay.
And then, of course, you know, he unfortunately ended up passing away due to having AIDS. But I did read that there was a nurse that took a sample of his blood, like, without him knowing, and found out that he had AIDS. And instead of telling him, told the papers. Like, how awful is that?
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, obviously Hollywood has a bad history with this stuff. I feel like horror does too, though,
because
that happened with Nightmare on Elm Street. Was it part two? Where that movie has definitely got a read that's like a lot of homosexual themes that are kind of denied by some of the people who worked on it, but it still led to the lead actor being kind of blacklisted in Hollywood. Like, I remember reading something. I don't remember the specific details, but that sounds kind of similar, that he went through hell over that. And you would hope things have changed at least a little bit nowadays. But that is a sad part of what going back in history with film.
It is,
you know, we talked a lot about how it represents the era. This is part of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, I even think about, you know, the way Alfred Hitchcock treated the women on his set was, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's tragic knowing that and knowing that it happened, and it seems like no one did anything, which, I mean, unfortunately continues to be a pattern that is happening.
Well, I feel like a lot of people, unfortunately, can be very apologetic to that when you look at the art that comes out, and I think that sucks. Like, you can still recognize.
Yeah, you could still recognize that that person did a shitty thing, and or multiple shitty things.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. It hurts. I mean, having and this is from my personal experience, having a small step into the film industry, it's still happening. Like, there is still, you know, sexual abuse happening and, you know, hierarchies being, you know, taken advantage of. But, I mean, it does seem like there's a little bit of that stuff, like, at least starting to come to the surface and people are taking action. It sucks that it even exists at all.
Yeah. And, you know, I think in general, I don't like to get into, like, this kind of stuff. It's why, like, with Jeepers Creepers, we didn't really talk about the director, even though he did some horrible shit.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, if something resonates with you like that, then we could definitely talk about it. And especially if we're invoking Pride Month, you know, it's worth talking about things like this.
Well, yeah, they're important issues. And I think the only way we get light on them is by talking about it.
Yep.
So, yeah.
And I look forward to seeing more older stuff. I want to see more Hitchcock.
Because
I honestly think I saw this and The Birds.
And I
remember really liking The Bird. It's called The Birds, right?
Yeah, it's The Birds.
Okay. I know it was Birds or The Birds. The Birds.
Birds.
I remember really liking The Birds when I was younger. But again, that's another one I haven't seen since it was on, like, cable.
Yeah.
So I'd love to see. I think my dad really likes Rear Window.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Yeah, we've talked about that before.
Yeah, you would know because you've talked to him about Hitchcock stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to watch more of them.
Yeah, they're good. And it's worth mentioning, you know, Hitchcock wasn't the greatest guy. He was, you know, not that great.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, God, you know.
First in a long line of not great directors.
Yeah, it seems to be a
abusive
pattern.
Abusive directors.
You guys notice a pattern?
Yeah. So anyways, we're going to cover some more Pride-themed movies going forward.
Yeah, we'll just
a few more.
Just, you know, let's talk a little gay this month.
Yeah, let's be a little on theme.
Yeah.
But for the time being, you can go to ghostbeast.com for all our links. You can also search for Ghost Beast Pod or follow Ghost Beast and follow Ghost Beast on Letterboxd. You could do both. So if we're going to add this to our list, here's the tricky part. Would you put it above or below Godzilla Minus One?
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh.
No.
This is when they get tough. It's like, this is a classic, but...
But Godzilla Minus One is also, yeah. I feel like, a modern classic.
And you can watch it in black and white.
I really want to do that.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's tough. Oh, it feels man. Like the obvious is to put Psycho above it.
I don't know.
I'm going to say below because Godzilla fucking rocks.
This is a Godzilla household. This is a Godzilla household.
But I'll put it above No One Will Save You. That sounds okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that means it's number 5 on the list. We have a pretty decent top 5 now.
Okay. What's the top 5?
Number 1 is Cat People. Number 2 is It Follows. Number 3 is Sleepaway Camp, which I love.
Yes.
4 is Godzilla Minus One, and 5 is Psycho.
Okay.
It's pretty good. We'll see how long it lasts. But you can also reach us at podcast@ghostbeast.com. And if you have any recommendations of some classics you'd like to hear us talk about, because I have seen a decent amount with you at this point, but...
Yeah,
I think I'd really be open to more. So
yeah, I definitely. Let us know. I know there's definitely things I have not seen yet, and I still want to see.
Yep. Bye bye.
I do want to talk.